Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Gary Neron welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry, taking a book of the Bible verse by verse, teaching as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology, speaking the truth in love, and our purpose is to give the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study of Hebrews chapter 1, we were talking about how some people believe that a person must spend time in purgatory to be cleansed of residual sin. Let's continue with that discussion today. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Philippians 2:6-11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now this is speaking of the same one which in Isaiah, the angels would hide their face. The seraphims would hide their face. Why? Because there his glory wasn't veiled by flesh. But it goes on to say, this same God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And when he says Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God, the Father, he's just saying he is God. He's co-equal. Now, there is one religion out there that teaches purgatory. Purgatory is a place where people die and they go after death for a cleansing by fire for a period of time to be determined. However, if you pay enough money, you can get out of purgatory. Isn't that wonderful? A few years ago, as a matter of fact, I think the date is back all the way to July 12th of 2007, so it's been a few years. But it was about Pope Benedict the 16th, and as a matter of fact, the title of the article that I received is Trips to Lourdes to Cut Time Spent in Purgatory. Pope Benedict the 16th is offering relief from purgatory to Roman Catholics who travel to Lourdes over the next year, the Vatican said yesterday. Pilgrims to the shrine in southwest France will receive plenary indulgences from the pontiff, which the church says reduces the time spent being washed of their sin after death. The indulgences will be available from this weekend until December 8th, 2008. Wow, that's well over a year that they were given. The church teaches that people who do not go directly to heaven must spend time in purgatory, where they can be purified of residual sin. Now, what does that tell us? That shows they don't believe the blood of Jesus Christ is fully sufficient to cleanse us from all of our sin. Now, it is the latest initiative to get more pilgrims to the shrine, famous for the reported healing properties of its water. In August, the Vatican opened an airline service offering pilgrims direct flights from Rome to Lourdes. From those who cannot make the journey to France, the Pope will also grant indulgences to Catholics who pray at places of worship dedicated to the Madonna of Lourdes from February 2nd to February 11th. Indulgences may also be granted under the special circumstances to people too sick to visit the shrine, the Vatican said. I shouldn't be laughing, but they're so sick and they're supposed to heal. Why aren't they taking them there to get them healed? So the offer comes as the shrine prepares to commemorate their 150th anniversary of when the Madonna was said to have appeared to a peasant girl in 1858. Now, folks, I much rather believe in the Bible than some religious doctrine. Now, I'm a fundamentalist, and I believe in a purgatory. I've already been through purgatory. My sins were cleansed at Calvary. That's why 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." I have full redemption and complete forgiveness. How? Through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood doesn't need the help of man or anyone else to get me to heaven. It's all of his grace. Now, the word purged, as it's seen here, is most commonly translated from its Greek word as cleansed. Jesus Christ has brought forth by himself the cleansing of our sins completely. Salvation is completely of him and nothing of ourselves. In Luke chapter 24, verses 46 and 47, we read this. "And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Now understand, repentance and forgiveness of sins. That's what remission means, is forgiveness. Should be preached in Christ's name among all nations. Repentance must be in the heart. Now, some people say, "Ha, you believe in eternal security. You're one of those jokers that believe in eternal security." Well, you must believe in eternal insecurity then. I just believe the Bible on this. But these people usually say, "Oh, you believe in eternal security." What they add to it is, "Well, man, you can get saved and go and live wild and just be a wild. If that's your attitude, hey, I'll get saved and I can live like I want to." That's not a true heart of repentance. That's not a true salvation. You might have repeated a prayer like people do magic words, but that's not a true salvation. You see, Jesus came to save us from our sin. That's what Matthew 1:21 says. That's why men love darkness rather than light and would not come to the light in John chapter 3. I like John chapter 3, verses 16 through 21, because it includes faith, whosoever believeth in him, but also repentance about coming to the light, turning from the darkness, coming to the light. That's repentance. Again, he did this by himself. We see that in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." He's not to be crucified afresh, and that blood doesn't need help. It's sufficient. And my friend, he saved us through his blood. He shed his blood on the cross there for you, for me, for all that would come to him. By faith, that shed blood is appropriated to our account before Almighty God in heaven at that great judgment bar. So anybody takes a glass of juice and puts it in front of you and says, "I'm offering this juice as the blood of Jesus Christ to take away your sins," don't drink it. Don't honor that, because he's crucifying the Son of God afresh. And don't allow that to happen with you. Now, when God saves a sinner, he breaks the power of indwelling sin, of that sin nature, the moment we receive him through repentance and faith. Now, although the sin nature remains, it does not need to control us. When we die, we lose the sin nature. His blood delivers the believer from the power of sin in this life and the presence of sin in the future life. His blood removes the guilt and penalty of sin and cleanses us from the defilement of sin. Ours is not to work for it. Rather, ours is to, by repentance of heart and faith, receive it. We cannot remove the sin, nor can we cleanse ourselves of it. But a repentant heart is a heart that is willing for the Lord to take the power of sin from him and to cleanse him. Somebody says, well, yeah, I believe that Jesus died for me and rose from the dead, and I'll ask him to save me, but don't ask me to move out from living with this girlfriend that we're living with in adultery. Don't ask me to quit gambling. Don't ask me to quit doing anything else. I'm going to continue to do all those things. And if God will accept me and I continue to do it, that's fine. Well, no, you don't have a repentant heart. You say, well, I can't overcome those things. That's why you call upon the Lord. You say, I'm addicted. You call upon the Lord and let him take it from you. You're willing for him to take it from you. You want him to take it from you. And you want not only forgiveness, you want everlasting life. You want saved from your sin, but saved unto eternal life in Christ. Now, is it not interesting that we are taken in one sentence from the Creator? Verse 2. Made the worlds to Calvary. What a contrast. His glory, his person, and our sins. Even our righteousnesses, Isaiah 64:6, are as filthy rags in his sight. So in one sentence, we're taken from the Creator, who made the worlds, to Calvary. The rest of this verse will tell us that he's not that helpless babe in the manger the world likes because that baby is non-threatening to their sinful lifestyle. Nor is he the person on the cross of a crucifix. Our God is not left on a cross as a helpless sufferer. That concept is misleading and wrong. God does not leave Jesus on a cross. Hallelujah! He is risen. It is by no less person than this that God has spoken to us in these last days. That is, he has spoken unto us by Jesus Christ. Don't be so foolish as not to listen to him. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the Sermon Library. That website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address for the Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And again, our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Gary Neron, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.
Sands on the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible says. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible says.